Again, good morning to you all. Appreciate getting some of these Wednesday nights off a little bit and giving them some other guys so that they can do and preach a little bit and giving me a break there a little bit. Just want to let you know we are going to be in Nehemiah again. If you do have your Bibles, turn over to chapter 2. I got the Holman version today. So that's where I'm going to be, but just want to remind of you, I know maybe Ashley talked about it, but we have revival coming up here like very quickly. I almost canceled revival because I'm thinking we don't need it until a couple of weeks ago. I was real short notice because I was like, oh, we got to really pull this off because there is some things that's moving in our church and you need to be aggressive. You need to look in the mirror. You need to look in the mirror. I don't think we're as great and good maybe as we think that we are. We need to be looking. We're getting very busy. It's okay to be very busy in the right points, but we need to be busy about the Lord. It's okay to take vacations. It's okay to do those things, but be careful what you let take up all your time. Be careful what you let take up all your time. You know, you can live in a mess if you want. So what we're going to talk about a little bit today. As a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Nehemiah getting the heart and the hunger for his broken people. And we'd seen that before God put upon his heart that he would have a heart and a brokenness for his people, for his country, and those that were despised, just that whole thing. And we don't see him just coming out asking God to fix it. What he ends up doing is what God's Spirit does with us. He begins to convict our hearts first about our own stuff. So he ends up seeking forgiveness, and he names the sins that he and his father and his country did. He begins to talk about repentance, and then he begins to talk about some other things. But he had to deal with some things in his own life first. And this is where we're going to go. We know that he had talked to the king, and God moved upon that. But now we're going to look at this part where he is finally coming into, he's finally coming back home. Remember, he was the cupbearer to the king. And so his country is in captivity, but God has given him grace and a blessing to go back and to begin to rebuild the walls. But he had come back. He's talking to some officials that were there, and he ends up looking at the walls, and everything was a demolished mess. Everything was a demolished mess. Everything was a mess. And then he finally finishes up his little adventure, his little examining everything to see what to see the walls, to see the mess. You see, it's one thing to hear about people's troubles, it's another thing to get involved. That's another thing to see, to hear about it, but now he's actually seeing it. I'm going to read verse 17. So Nehemiah says, I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burnt down. Come, let's rebuild Jerusalem's wall so that we will no longer be a disgrace. So first thing you have to do, talk about the problem. What we do is we walk around the problem. We don't want to deal with it. You see, these people, there was trouble in their life. There was a problem and there was a need. They had to be honest about the problem, which sometimes I don't think we're as honest as we think we are. But had to be honest. And it begins to give that peace. In verse 18, I told them how gracious the hand of my Lord, my God, had been on me, and what the king had done or has said to me. And they said, let's start rebuilding, and they were encouraged to do good works. What was the encouragement piece? One, I think it was that God is doing something. They were so down and out that they could not see God moving anywhere. And what Nehemiah does is Nehemiah testifies. Testify testifying and testimonies are a great thing. If God just told him to come over and do what he needed to do, there would be no testimony. Testimonies are encouraging. The hard times that we go through, if we let God do his full purpose, they can be used for testimony and encouragement for other people. We don't like going through them, but we need to go through them from time to time, and we need to do that. But he told him how gracious and how awesome the God did for him. And he begins to testify. And as they hear the testifying, they begin to say, let's start rebuilding. There's hope in the air because God is being mentioned. But what we see in verse 19, we see this is where we all want to quit. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite, the official, and the Geshem, the Arab, three guys, heard about this, they mocked and despised us and said, what is this you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king? So what we have here is we have a problem in Jerusalem. The walls are torn down. The place is a disastrous mess. Hope comes into town, begins to share about what God's plans are, begins to share about what God has already done. Now, I want you to visualize this because we're thinking that Nehemiah just came into town. I want to let you know that if you reread some of the earlier scriptures, that the king gave Nehemiah an escort. So Nehemiah's not coming in on his own. There is a cavalry. There is an army. There's also a what we could call a wagon train. A wagon is full of timber to do the rebuilding of the gates and such. So not only was there protection coming in, but there was also supplies coming in. Before he even said anything, they had to have said something like, wow, what are they doing? Who is this coming in? And also seeing Nehemiah, who, maybe he shared with them that he was a cupbearer, maybe not, but basically he was no one of any position at all. But yet he seems like he's the leader. Because God can take someone in the lowest position and move them to wherever God wants them to be. But I will always tell you, when you see something like that, I want to let you and remind you that God is already doing something in their life. Be careful how you judge. That's just Nehemiah. Be careful how you judge others. But I can imagine this group coming in here and beginning to be critical of what is going on. Opposition is going to happen anytime you move in the direction God wants you to move. Opposition, whether that's rebuilding relationships in your marriage, building relationships with your children, building whatever it is, strengthening your own walk with the Lord, there's going to be opposition. And so many of us want to quit. I want to talk about a few individuals I think that can play into this. One, we have the naysayers. We have the naysayer group. These are the people that say, you can't. Heard that when we first started. You can't. You can't. You can't. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. The second one is the complainers. They're annoyed about you and what you're going to do. It's annoying. They're the complainers. And then you have the doubters. They have no confidence in you. They have no confidence, no faith in you or what you're doing. And then there are the discouragers. They speak negative words and negative comments to bring you down. But all of these have something in common. You know what it is? Fear. Every one of those individuals have fear. They have the spirit of fear. They are afraid that you might just do what God has put in your heart. They're jealous. They're afraid. There's envy. They are afraid. And some of you are afraid to get closer to God. Because you're afraid, you know that God has been pulling you for a while into a direction, whether it's to clean up the life, whether it's to rebuild your own walls in your own life, whatever it may be. I want to remind you that this group here was a desolate group. It says they were despised. In chapter 1, he says, and the people are despised. Why? Because all the walls were torn down. All the walls are torn down. They say the wall's about 2.5. We can get into details depending on where you're researching. If the walls are 2.5 miles long. They got towers. They have 10 gates. They have at least 8 towers. It's an impossible task. Every day they woke up, and every time they saw the city, it was in ruins, just like our lives sometimes. We wake up, and then what happens is we just get used to it. We don't even see the junk and the brokenness in the city. We get up in the mornings and we don't even see how we even talk to our spouse. We don't even see how we talk to or treat our kids. We don't even see all the mess that's going on in our lives. But let me ask you this. Not putting myself on a pedestal, just putting the position. Would you ask your pastor to your house? Would you have faith? Would you have confidence in your family without... Or you all have to put the whitewash all over the place to make it look like it's good. But the first touch of it, it all falls apart. You see, I think we have a lot of rebuilding to do in our personal lives. Some of us have drawn away from one another because there's some things in our life that we are now just coming to accustomed to, that we're accepting in our life, and it's okay. When there may be some sin things that our kids are doing or whatever, and we got to those places where we listen to those lies that Satan puts into our minds, that, my church family wouldn't accept us if we knew what our kids were doing. Let me tell you, if your kids are adults, they're adults. They're accountable for their own stuff. Doesn't mean you stop loving them. But we are allowing stuff to happen into our lives that we're just accepting. And it's crumbled. And our walls are torn down, and our towers are torn down. Families are broken up. Our relationships have been burnt down. Our stature is falling apart. What that means? That means at one time you had an awesome relationship with Jesus Christ, man. You were right there. Not that you've arrived, but you've had a good relationship with Jesus. You were serving, you were worshiping. He was on your mind. He was off your lips. You were hearing good things. You were doing what good godly Christians are supposed to be doing. But you're not there anymore. It's fallen down. And it needs to be rebuilt. And the only way to rebuild it is with Jesus Christ. For someone to come in. And that someone to come in. God was using Nehemiah. God was coming in through Nehemiah with all the stuff that was going to happen. Verse 20, he says, I gave them this reply to the naysayers and those guys. The God of heaven is the one who will grant us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But you will have no share, no right, or historical claim in Jerusalem. What he begins to do is begins to separate himself and the people from those people who are discouraging. Sometimes it's hard to do that when you're in your own family, isn't it? But sometimes you have to learn to love with a distance and love with some boundaries. Let me ask you a big question. Why would people come to this church if its walls are broken down? Why would people come to you for spiritual advice when your own walls and towers and gates are broken down? Think about it. Did people used to come to you? God will use and point them into another direction until you get your walls rebuilt. You can't let negative people control your life. And if you're a negative person, stop trying to control others' lives. Start working on yourself. Because you're only bringing everyone else around you down, keeping everybody broken. So they're going to start rebuilding the walls. That's what they're excited about. They're going to start to rebuild the walls. Some hope has come in to town. I want to remind you also that some people don't want the hope. There's always going to be some people who don't want to rebuild walls. There's going to be some people who are okay with everything being broken down. The question is, are you? They begin to do a work. And chapter 3 gives us a whole list of all these people that begin to work. So-and-so is next to so-and-so, and so-and-so. I'm not even going to go through some of those names. Those names are tough to say. But they are all, it's all listed out. And you say, why did they get a whole chapter? Because it was that important. But I do want to read a couple of the verses. Chapter 3, verse 5. Besides them, the Tekoites made repairs. But the nobles did not lift a finger to help their superiors, their supervisors. So there was a group, these nobles. I'm a noble. I'm not lifting my hand. But there was in verse 12, besides Shalem and Halashesh, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. He, what's it say, and his daughters. So we see the female group working in there as well. We have moved five times. We have moved five times in 10 years. House down State Street, Kevin's old building, and Dave's from upstairs to downstairs to across the street to this street. We're not done building. We're still going to keep building because that's what God has put in front of us. But I sometimes wonder if God is waiting for us. And sometimes we think we're waiting on God. We always think we're waiting on God. But sometimes God is waiting on us. Not going to give you more than what you can handle. He's not going to give you more if you can't take care of what you already got. He's not going to allow you to have something beautiful if you can't take care and keep what He's already given to you beautiful. And let me tell you, you think I'm talking about just physical, I'm talking about spiritual. Probably more spiritual than physical. But something happens when the people begin to come together and begin to work. I want to share a couple pieces that through the years that I have learned. And number one is working together brings people together. It brings unity. It brings unity. Quit leaving the church so quick, some of you. Somebody might want to say hi to you once in a while. Yeah, somebody might like you for a minute. Your food will be there. Who cares if somebody cut in on you, China or the Mexican restaurant or wherever it may be. Take a lesson. Next time we have a carry-in, be the last one. It'll cool your jets. Teach your kids to be the last one, maybe. I learned it from my father. Mom, why is Dad always, because he always does that. He's always the last one to eat. Take a step back. Look at the family of God. It's the unity that God wants. Be careful. Working together brings people together. That's unity. People want to know you. And you might find a friend. I've heard so many people in the church, I don't have any friends. Well, quit running away so quick. There is enough people that will hang out here, and they will hang out until most people are gone. And then they hang out again. There are good people here. You good people. Hang out a minute. Ask somebody to go to dinner with you. It's okay. You know what this did? These people were working right next to one another. They began to work right next to each other, rebuilding the walls and the gates. And they began to conversate, sharing that hope together, an excitement of what's happening. Churches fall apart because it's not because of excluding the big sins that things can happen, but churches fall apart way before you see it. They begin to fall apart when they begin to separate from each other. They don't socialize. They don't have any unity together. Number two, working together gets things done. Working together gets things done. Now, there was a time and the boys were home. And my boys are in here, good. Okay. That Carla would say, "This house is a mess. Everybody, stop what you're doing. And everybody, you got this room, Tyler. You got this room, Alex. You got that room." And she'd go, "Jimmy, and you got this, this, and this. What are you doing?" She's got that. But you know what? She's going around to everybody. You know what? In the end, there's groveling. And you can hear my voice. You know, whatever. But here it is. It gets done. And you know what? There's kind of a joy after we're done doing it. And the thing is not one's off on the phone, one's off. We are doing something together, and it felt good. And you know what? We got something done. Because if she didn't do it, we've been living with a mess, living in a messy house. So working together gets things done. And it's good for young people to pick it up. Grant, you're going to vacuum. That vacuum was bigger than Grant. Let them kids not work. I love that verse. And he worked with his daughters. Don't let your kids get out and not working. You're going to pay the price later. They need to be a part of it too, because they want to be a part of it. They may bark about it, but they want to be a part of it because you're entrusting them with something. So working together gets things done. Number three, working together accomplishes God's purposes. This was not just about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the leader, yes, but it was about the people. It was about Jerusalem. It was about the walls being torn down, going to rebuild the whole city. Wasn't just about Nehemiah. This was about getting something done for God's purposes. Isn't that what we're trying to do here? I love it when we get, you know, one thing I like about when we do a new house, a new project, is guys begin to come out of the woodwork. In the church, guys begin to come out. And they begin to work on stuff. I don't really know what I'm doing. And I won't say just the guys. We've had several females that come over and work on the buildings. Even if it's to take a broom and clean up after everybody else's mess. Because I'm telling you, guys don't want to clean up their messes. They want to be a part of the building, but they're horrible. Next time I step on a nail, I'm going to say, "Whose is it?" Right? So, but it takes all of us to accomplish what God's purpose. And let me remind you, God's purpose is not just about you. Not just about what you're doing in your life. Sometimes when your walls are torn down so bad, you can't see anything because you got so much rubble. You can't even see across the fence because you got so much rubble. You need to start taking care of yourself. Because God wants to use each and every one of you, but you got to take care of what's going on in your own life. Start rebuilding. And sometimes you may need some people to help you rebuild. Because there was no way Nehemiah was going to rebuild this himself. We know that. So number three, working together accomplishes God's purposes. Number four, working together brings blessings. It brings blessings. It brings a blessing. Conversations. Fellowship time. Everybody's carrying the burden. Holding up tools in one hand, working with another, got a spear, sword in another hand. They're just working away. It's a God thing. They rebuilt these walls in 52 days. They were done in 52 days. It doesn't make any sense. You put all of the people out there today, you take away all the, even excavating equipment and stuff, it would probably take more than 52 days. Even if you had all the backhoes and all the tractors and everything, it would take 52 days. I'll tell you why. Because 25 people want to be the boss. Another people says, "I don't touch anything. I only touch, I am only skilled for these things. You see, we put ourselves today on levels where God just wants you to be on one level. You know what that level is? Humbleness. You think those girls knew what they were doing? They may not know what they were doing, but they were doing. And you know what? God blesses in that way. You think we knew what we were doing? You think we still know what we're doing here? I swear, I wake up every morning and go, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. And I think he would say, you're exactly right. You're right about one thing today, Jimmy. You don't know what you're doing. And I'm okay with that because I know who does know what he's doing. And he's done a great job with a group of people. We couldn't build, we probably couldn't even get along to build a shed. Listen, I know some of these working guys in the church. I know some of them. Well, we need to do this, so we need to do that. But I'm telling you, you let God be God. And God can do something in 52 days a man couldn't do probably in 12 months. First thing, where are we going to get the money? Where are we going to get the supplies? God already brought it in. And nobody had to pay for it. Because remember, God owns everything. Even what the enemy has, he owns that. You're giving up the lumber from the forest. You're giving up soldiers for protection. You're going to give them an escort. King says, look what I did. Nehemiah says, look what I'm going to tell you about what God did. So working together brings blessings. Number five, good old-fashioned hard work is good for a person. You feel good about it. It's healthy. It's healthy. Good old-fashioned hard work is good for people to work. Now I know some of you are not able to work. I get it. People tell me that it's hard to come to church at times, but then I see him at Walmart. I see him huddling out of a rut, going into a restaurant. But they have a hard time making it to the church house. I got to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. But somehow, sometimes it just seems to be hard working on God's stuff for some reason. To find, I know we all have jobs. We all have those things we have to do. But I believe that good old-fashioned hard work is just good and healthy. Make sure this isn't all your work, because you'll turn into the gossip queen or king in the church. I'm telling you, that's not a good place to be. But good work is healthy. Church has cleanup days. Bring your kids. It's part of a few of those, even as a teen, young. Oh, we're doing this at the church. Oh, man, I was going to go play some ball. Nope, not today. But you know what? It was good. Because number six tells me this. When you work, you're part of the finished outcome. And nobody can take that away. You see, I was a part of Coventry Baptist Church from its mission, being meeting in schools and stuff. But I was never, I never put a nail in, I never put a wood in, I never put a roof on, or never did anything on the building. When me and Carla went in the military, we were gone for 5 years, we'd come back and it was there. So I missed out on all the testimonies. I can only hear and be a part of the receiving of the testimonies. I didn't know my father fell off the roof. I didn't know. I learned some things about the building. I didn't know where certain things were. I didn't know where other things were because I wasn't part of the building of the church. Still like the church, still love the church, but I wasn't part of the building. But everybody that worked there, no matter what, could never take anything away from them. Even if they were just picking nails off the floor, they were part of the finished outcome. They were doing what they could do in their own power and their own physical strength. They were there. They were part of that. So when you work, no matter what part of it, you're part of the finished outcome. And nobody can take that away. No one. No one. Number seven, a part of people working in unity is that God sees the workers. God sees the workers. But God also sees the non-workers. God gave you a life. He gave you skills. He gave you abilities. In some areas in your life, He just kind of tweaked up a couple of some abilities. He tweaked up some things and some skills in your life. And you got at least one awesome spiritual gift that you could never got on your own, but only the Holy Spirit has given you that. And so you are accountable for that. I don't think God's going to talk to me about my singing. Don't think He's going to do that. But He is going to ask how my heart sang. But I just don't have the vocals like Ashley has and some of you others. I don't have those vocals. God has given me other gifts and other talents and callings. And I'm trying to do the best that I can do because I know that I'm going to be and stand accountable for that. When God led the people out of Egypt, they were responsible and accountable for leaving Egypt and going to a promised land. And they stood toward the promised land. They sent 12 spies in, and they came back. And the people grumbled against God and said, we want to go back to Egypt. They were accountable for that. But they were not accountable for the Nehemiah and rebuilding the walls. That generation was accountable for that time. The people that walked when Jesus was healing, they were accountable of hearing the gospel. What are they going to do with this man Jesus? What are they going to do? Today, we are accountable for the ministries that God has given to us. That they stay straight in the narrow line that Jesus is who He says He is. That we preach the gospel, but that we also not just preach the gospel, but we give a place of hope and a place where broken people and hurting people can come. And if our walls are broken down, why would broken people come to a place where the walls are broken down? They're not. We have to rebuild the walls. Now, our walls may not be all fallen down, praise the Lord. But you know, our church building, we are rebuilding the bricks on the walls of this church. We got some stuff done over here, and it looks great. We're doing some stuff over here, and they're waiting tomorrow. I think the lift is coming so they can get a little bit higher. Side note, most agree that the walls at Jerusalem were 40 feet high. But they're waiting for a lift. There are no lifts then. 52 days. Just put that in your head. That's a God thing. But they're waiting for the lift. And they came and they began to say, okay, so what is going on is that you do have some more problems than you thought. We have a chimney back here that's ready to do one of these numbers. And there's a house next door and there's kids next door. Plus, could fall right through here. There's also down the ramp side, you can see the column that holds up the corner. It's all coming out too. Now we can keep walking by and say, it's okay. It's all right. It's got another year left. Then we go through it. Oh, it's still got, oh, it looks good. It's got another year left. That's what we do with our lives. I can handle that. I've been putting up with it for a while. Until something happens. Tragedy happens. What do we have to do here? We are saying, okay, I think our building fund, what was it? I forget now the building fund number. But it has went up. Not because we want it to, but because we have to take that chimney down and to repair that column. And then, for $2,000 more, we're going to seal the whole church. They come in and they're going to seal it. So we have less deterioration. This building's over 120 years old. Less deterioration, slowing it down. You see, some of your lives, you have walls and they look pretty good, but there's cracks. And there's things that are chipping away. There's a wall that looks like it's going to cave in or fall out. See, we're working on damage that the previous churches didn't do. They didn't work on it. Some of this damage was here when we were here. But it just got worse. And leave it for someone else. But we can't leave it for someone else. We have to fix it. That's the same thing in your own life. It's time to not leave it for someone else, but to start fixing it. Start working on the walls in your life. And God sees who the workers are. Sometimes you do need a little help for some other people. And it's okay. But God also sees those who don't work. This was not only a physical wall they were repairing. It was a spiritual wall. Why was that? The walls fell because God's people stopped worshiping Him. They went to other gods and idols. They stopped giving Him reverence. They stopped allowing God to be a part of their life, and they began to live the way they wanted to. And they began to go into a sinful life. And God gave them prophets and began to tell them, don't do this, or this is going to happen. And they blew Him off. And God said, so be. The enemy, I'm going to allow the enemy to come in. And they tore the walls down. That's exactly what Satan does, tears walls down. And then they go into 70 years of captivity, humbling themselves. Great story, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Daniel, others. And now God's time to rebuild the walls. Getting back from the book of Ezra. Getting back up. Starting putting God back in place. And so they begin to rebuild the walls. Even with those who were cursing and saying, no, you can't do it. And also those in their own campuses, I am not going to lift a hand. I doubt if they even had any calluses on their fingers or the palms of their hand. I want to ask you a question this morning. Nehemiah took some time and no one went with him. It came to a point that he had to get off of his horse, his mule, and walk around and look at the damage on the walls of Jerusalem. I'm going to ask this morning that you take a spiritual walk around your own spiritual walls and see if there's any damage, any broken walls, any cracks that you know that God wants you to start working on. Walls of bitterness fall real quick. Walls of hatred fall real quick, do a lot of damage. Fathers, we come to this place in our time of worship, in our service, to do only the thing that you can do is move upon the hearts of people. Lord, we know that we need a revival, but we need to start at the place of acknowledging that there is some damage in my life, in my walls. I pray for each person that's here this morning that your Spirit will speak to each one according to what your will would be. For those that know you and those that don't, may your will be done. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand.